So what are we supposed to preach again?
Really?
Is this even working? There you go. Is it working now? What are we supposed to preach today? I kind of forgot.
I think we're supposed to preach on parenting.
Parenting? Are you serious? Wait, you're not a parent.
Nope, definitely not.
I'm not a parent. Then that means we both don't seem that qualified to do this.
And I would say the most qualified pastor to preach should have the most number of kids in the family.
I agree.
And guess who the pastor would be?
So thank you, everyone. Pastor Brandon is coming up right now.
See ya.
See ya. Anyways. Well, my name is Pastor Phoebe, and I'm the children's pastor here at ECAC, and this is Elder Andrew, who is the youth tormentor, mentor, as he would like to call himself. So, you know, we would like to share that something that's really important in our hearts, which is discipleship, and especially discipleship in the home. And we just would like to, especially those who are not parents, you might think this is odd, but you will be parents. So use it as a way of equipping yourself ahead of time. So this past Friday was Valentine's Day. So did you guys be able to celebrate with your spouse? Or did you forget? So thankfully you're here and I reminded you. You know, during the season, I love listening to a song called Valentine by Kina Granis. Does anyone know that song? So the verse goes like this. Love is a special day we should celebrate and appreciate. So on Valentine's, we celebrate and appreciate the people that we love. But have you celebrated and appreciated the love that God has shown you? Now, this love isn't bound by butterfly feelings or emotions or discounted chocolates the day after. This love that we have is bound by thankfulness and the gratefulness that He shows us every day. The daily act of celebration and appreciation of God's love molds and transforms our whole being to the extent that this love that we have for God is caught and seen by others around us, especially our children. They would question you and ask about this love that they have, that you have for God. This gives us an opportunity to share this great love of God that He has for you and for them. Now, as a children's pastor, the hope that I have for the children here in our church, in our community, is that they may know that they are loved by the Heavenly Father who created them. And I want them to celebrate that daily, knowing that their value and identity is in Jesus, who loves them so much that He died for them. Now, that is why I want to partner with all of you, whether you're parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or even what I call spiritual fathers and mothers, to encourage you to bring this message of God's love into your families. Now, our culture tells us that in order to be good parents, we are to invest on our children's health, education, some wealth, and even their future. But what if we shifted our focus in putting our time, money, and energy in bringing God's love into the home as an investment for their eternity? Now, this is why we chose, actually he chose, but I know, I was a part of it too. The passage, Deuteronomy 6, 20 to 25, which Moses gives instructions to parents to disciple their children in the home. Now, Moses calls the remnant generation to share who God is and what God has done so that their children can know His love. And through that love, they will obey and keep God's commandments because of the thankfulness and the gratitude of their hearts. in hopes that they too will love God through keeping God's commandments and pass it down from generation to generation. This form of discipleship is caught through living our lives in celebration and appreciation of God's love for us, so that our children will learn and do the same. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is known as the second law that Moses is giving out. It is a summary of the laws that was given to Israel 40 years ago on Mount Sinai. Now, the purpose of repeating the law is to encourage Israelites not to commit the same mistakes their fathers have made while entering into the promised land. Now, Moses in Deuteronomy 1 recalls the disobedience that their fathers have made 38 years ago in Kadesh by failing to obey God's commands. They did not have faith in the Lord, despite that God showed them the promised land which flowed of milk and honey. They even grumbled and complained that they wished they were slaves again in Egypt. And because of their lack of faith, the generation, including Moses, would not be able to enter into the promised land. Only two people and the rest of the generations that were 22, 23 and under were able to enter into the promised land. And we know that who led them was Joshua and also Caleb. Now, Moses wanted to recall these past stories and lessons so that the Israelites would not commit the same mistake again. They've already witnessed the previous generation who died in the wilderness because of the consequences of their sin. Now, before his death, Moses continually reminds them to keep God's commandments. Well, it says in Deuteronomy 6:2, that you may fear the Lord and you and your son and your son's son by keeping all his statutes and his commandments in which I commanded you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. And also in Deuteronomy 6:17, you shall live diligently, keeping the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. Now, Moses reminds me a little bit like my mother. When, you know, she continually nags at me to remember things or to do certain things. Like, you know, remember to follow God's commands. Remember what God has said. Remember, don't do that again. Why does Moses repeatedly emphasize these things before his death? Well, if you read the Ten Commandments in the chapter prior, it looks like a list of rules that we must follow. Because if it is, I agree with the Israelites in going back to Egypt since they didn't really have these rules. But Moses reminds us that these commandments are to teach us to love God and to love others. And that is the greatest commandment. The reason for the Israelites to obey and to keep God's commandments is because of the love that God has for them. They are not to forget what God had done and what God has given, and what God, he will continue to do. Israel is invited to respond to God in the same fullness of love that God has displayed for his people. Now, how does God show love, his love to the Israelites? Well, God, the creator of the universe, binds himself to the Israelites by making a covenant with their forefathers. He makes many promises to them and their descendants, and he keeps them. He delivers them out of Egypt and brings them into the wilderness. He continually provides for their needs and never left them, despite of their disobedience to his commands. God wants to bring the Israelites into the promised land that is flowing with milk, honey, and to bless them. And that is why Moses is calling the Israelites to respond to God's love for them by keeping his commandments. Well, then how are they to respond? In Deuteronomy 6:4-6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall beyond your heart." Everything that we do in our whole being is an expression of our love for God. It is our whole self, our emotions, our thoughts, our bodies, with all the strength and determination, is to respond to God's love for us. The evidence is of that is by the way that we obey to God's commands. It's not just one part or two parts of the commandments, but all the commandments that God has given. Because if they love God, they will gladly obey his words, which are inscribed deeply into their hearts. They are to carry out the responsibility of God's beloved people by honoring his word and by fearing them. Not only that, they are to live their life in a way that these commandments become the forefront of their lives, to the extent that their children would even ask why their parents follow these commandments. Now, I work with children, and they always ask this question, why? Why are we doing this? You know, why are we doing, what is this about? You know, children would always ask questions. And children, sooner or later, will also ask why their life is different from others. Now, as a child growing up, this is the common question that I always ask my parents. Why do we have to go to church on Sundays? Why do we have to wake up early to go to church on Sundays? Why do we have to spend 3 hours at church on Sundays? And then to my parents' response, someone's taking care of you. But Moses already anticipated these questions. So that is why he urges the people to have an answer ready and to anticipate when the children ask why they follow God's commandments. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:20, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Children will ask why their life is centered around following God's word and why they are to put their faith in God. Parents are to be ready to share the story of God's redemptive act in delivering their forefathers out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. It is a story that every child could understand.
Hello. So I think Moses probably knows that parents are probably not very easy to sort of share the faith. It's sort of like, you know, make you a bit crazy. So Moses provides the standard answer, the tips that the parents can follow in verse 21 to 25. And it can be broken down into three sections. Is number one is in verse 21 to 23. The parents can talk about the past. And the parents will say, yeah, you asked that? Before you were born, we were slaves in Egypt. We were oppressed. We were persecuted. There was genocide. We were miserable. But in the midst of this, God came and delivered us. He performed miracles after miracles. In front of our eyes, he brought us out of Egypt. And not only that, God has a plan for us to enter the promised land. And today, verse 24, we are following God's command. And kids, can you see how God has blessed us in our daily lives? And in the future, verse 25, if we keep doing this, God will continue to bless us, protect us, and we can have that close and personal relationship with God. And isn't it sounds like something that we do when we share the gospel? And that's exactly the point, because Moses wants the parents to pass on their faith to their kids at home. And discipleship should start at home, not just in the church. And at the same time, remember, this is Deuteronomy 6. Moses is speaking to a group of the next generation. They are the leaders now. And 40 years ago, on the same spot, overlooking the promised land, Far, far away, Moses was with the group's parents. And they talk about the same thing, about the promised land. And that memory is not lost on the audience in chapter 6. Actually, I think to the audience, to the second generation, it is a bitter irony of what Moses is talking about. Remember 40 years ago on the same spot when Moses said, let's go into the promised land. And guess what the responses are? The parents said, no. Yeah, it looks nice, but while the fortresses are strong, they are manned by all the giants, we look like just little grasshopper. We cannot fight them. We will lose our lives. And what's more? What happened to our women and our children? They will be captured. They will be plundered. So, when the parents make the decision not to follow God's command, one big major reason is to protect their family, is to protect their children. I could understand that. And who wouldn't to protect the loved one, the family, the children? They thought by not going into the promised land, by defying God's command, they could protect their children. And we know the rest of the story. And because of their rebellion, God told them, okay, you don't want to go to the promised land. You worry about your family. Got that. No worries, I'll protect them. But for you who make the decision, you will die in the desert for in the next 40 years. And because of your disbelief and your defiance, your family will suffer the consequences. They will be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That's the irony. Now the kids have grown up. They face the same decision at the same spot. Moses is telling them, don't make the decision of not going to the promised land like your parents. Don't make the decision just to protect your children by not following your command. Make the decision instead. Make the decision to go into the promised land. Make the decision to protect your kids by following God's order. Make the decision to follow God and trust that God will bless your family. God will protect your children. That's the decision I want you to make. And that's the message. That's the decision. That's the decision the second generation will have to make. Will they follow their parents? Will they make the decision that defy God? Or will they make the decision to bless their family and their children so that they won't wander for another 40 years? And I think Moses lays all of that in front of them and ask them to make a decision.
Hello?
Oh, that was a bit rough. So I'll sugarcoat that a bit. Just kidding. But, you know, this story reminds us, you know, that it's so important for parents to really focus back onto God. And it's through that you have that trust and that faith in God to protect your children. And as parents, we know that you love your children deeply, and that's why you bring them to church. And you want them to learn about the love of God and what Jesus has done for them. Now, don't get me wrong, Like, I still want my job. Church is a great place to learn, but it is not the primary place. Through reading Deuteronomy 6, we cannot deny the importance of learning about God is in the home. It is responsibility of the parent to disciple their children and to know God's word and to understand his love. But first, this is to parents, of course, to my leaders as well. Do you know that you are loved as a child of God? You know, as that you want your best for your children, God loves you and wants the best for you. I hope that you can surrender all your burdens to Jesus. It's because he loves and cares for you. Take time daily to celebrate and appreciate all the love that God has shown you throughout your life. Allow the Spirit to reveal and remind you so that you are filled constantly in knowing God's love for you. Remember that you are forgiven by the Father because of Jesus' death on the cross, and that he wants to shower you with his grace and his mercy. Continue to seek after the love of God through his word, knowing his love for you, so that you're overflowing with God's love and it's seeping into the people around you, like your family and especially your children. We acknowledge that there isn't a formula for discipleship because it is caught. Children learn by observing you and how you live your life. Living out what you teach is impactful and more influential than any other person in their life. Show them your heart for the Lord so that they can too replicate that love for Jesus. We know that we're not just building our into our children. And I remember last year, the selfish reason why I'm a children's pastor is because I'm building on to my non-existent children. You know, I want to build your children because I know they're going to teach my children and my generations after that too. And know that we're not just building into our children, but our children's children and our future, the future generations. But most importantly, our investments are not just for their future, but it's also for their eternity. So imagine your children facing God face to face. Isn't that beautiful? Now, this may be a challenge for some parents because you were not discipled in the home. How are we to disciple when we were not discipled ourselves? Well, I was not discipled in the home. He wasn't either. For my family, prayer time at home is usually something that's very scary because something bad is about to happen or has happened, and we just need to break the news to each other, and we usually do that through prayer. But I'm lucky that I learned about discipleship through my mentor, my spiritual father, when I was living in Hong Kong. We served together, and every time I meet him, he would intentionally share stories to celebrate with me what God has done in his life and also in our ministry together. Not only that, Jesus, he's our greatest role model. He disciples by sharing about God's heart and through modeling that. He tells his disciples to come and follow him so that, you know, he can teach them through just by modeling it, by being an example of that. I cannot completely discredit my parents, you know, for not discipling me, because I know some of you may know them and then go back and tell them, so don't do that. But one thing that I know for sure is my parents pray for me every day. So parents, start with prayer. Pray for your children. Smother them in prayers. Surrender them to Jesus, knowing that God is their Heavenly Father, and he knows what's best for them more than you know. So let's go on this journey together and to bring discipleship in the home. And as Children's Council, Our goal this year is actually parent discipleship. So, and I'm very thankful that I was able to partner up with wonderful ladies, wonderful parents, Karen, Sarah, Melissa, and Michelle. You know, our goal is that we hope to provide resources and seminars to equip you and to help you disciple in the home. And then right now we're just, you know, gathering these resources and more information that we can help you on this journey of discipleship. We don't have all the answers, and there is no formula. So that is where we hope that on February 29, Elder Andrew, Elder Stewart, and I will be hosting a parent night. And it's for us to get to know you. It's for us to get to know, you know, what struggles that you're going through. And also we want to give you some updates of children's ministry and our youth ministry. And that we hope that we can be in communication, not just with each other, but with also parents to parents, that you guys know what's best, you know, and to disciple in the home. And so right now I just want to just have a time of prayer. And I just want you to think about bringing this discipleship in the home. And also for those that are not parents. I was not discipled, but how can I disciple my parents as well? So I want you to take time just to really reflect on that. And let's begin to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for sharing with us the story in Deuteronomy of the past mistakes of the Israelites, of not following your will, not following your commandments. But Lord, your commandments is for us to respond in love to you, of how much love that you've revealed to us. And so, Lord, you remind us to teach and to live out your commandments so other people around us, especially our family, especially our children, may see the love that you have for us and also for them. Remind us that the investments that we make with our time, with our money, is not only just on their future, but, Lord, it's for eternity. So let us have an eternal mindset as parents, as leaders, as counselors, that we're building and we're investing on something so much greater than we can imagine. So Lord, help us. Lord, give us the Spirit to guide us. Lord, may we continue to be disciplined in learning, in reading your word, and keeping your commandments in our hearts. But Lord, may we learn from Jesus and his great and deep love for us that is shown through the cross. So, Lord, may you guide us. May we surrender our children, our families to you. That knowing, Lord, you are a heavenly Father and you know what's best for us and you know what's best for our children. And, Lord, we just lift this time up to you. May you just reveal to us who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.